I think that's a very appropriate song for us to focus on as we move into our time of preaching. Thank you, Anders. Thank you, team, for leading us in worship this morning. We appreciate your willingness to lead us together in this time. It's good to be in here with you. Many of you know me. Not all of you do. My name's Andy Stoddard. I'm the lead pastor here at St. Matthew's United Methodist Church. This is my first time to preaching in the new space. My first time to preach an intersection in a while, so unpack what he has to say to us now in this time, in this place. That's a very appropriate song for where the text is going to lead us to in just a moment. So I would invite you, if you're able, to stand in body or in spirit for the reading of our gospel lesson. Today we're going to be reading from Luke's gospel. Be reading Luke 24, starting with verse 36, and we're going to read through 49. While they were talking about this, Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." When he had said this, he showed them his hands and his feet. While in their joy they were disbelieving and still wondering, he said to them, "Have you had anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, "These are my words which I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures. Then he said to them, "Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that the repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name among all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And you see, I am sending upon you what my Father has promised. So stay here in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. So this week, you probably saw the eclipse. Well, I hope you did not stare into the eclipse, because we've got major problems if you've done that. Okay, if you're a million years old like me, some of you in the crowd are, and I'm not looking at names or calling names, but I remember in the late, do y'all remember the eclipse in the late 80s? Does that sound like a familiar time to y'all? I remember, and this is all I remember of an eclipse. There was an eclipse that came to Boca Chica, and maybe it was just something special. Maybe it was the Boca Chica only eclipse. I don't know. I just remember standing in front of the Boca Chica school, holding a welding helmet on my face and looking at the eclipse. That's what we did back home. We used welding helmets to shield ourselves from the eclipse. So I hope all of you got to see the eclipse or look at the good pictures on Facebook. There was a really awesome shot. I think it was from the International Space Station they took. I don't know if you saw that one. I think I shared it on Facebook. It was like awe-inspiring to see this. People, I have friends, you have friends, who drove to Missouri to see it. I have some friends who taught at Millsaps who drove to Arkansas to see it. Like, people drove to see this. And, you know, we will drive to see things, won't we? I've never been west of Dallas. I've just never gone out that far. But one day, I want to go out west, because there's two things I want to do out west. I want to see the Grand Canyon. I've never seen the Grand Canyon, but it is on my list of things that I want to say that I have seen. Now, I've seen the Mississippi Grand Canyon. Have any of y'all ever done the Mississippi Grand Canyon? Yeah, that's right. There is a place, I think it's north of Columbia, where, is that right? It's north of Columbia? It's in the middle of the woods outside of Columbia, which normally, if your directions go the middle of woods outside of Columbia, that's not good directions. But this is outside of Columbia, and it's really beautiful. It's something where I think erosion has caused it to kind of form like a small little canyon there. And if you ever get a chance to go check it outside of Columbia, it's worth driving to. It's good stuff. So I've been there, but I've never been to the actual Grand Canyon. That's on my list. My big goal is to one day fly out to San Francisco, go watch the Giants play baseball, and then rent a car and drive down the Pacific Coast Highway. Like, I've always in my mind, the Pacific Coast Highway there in California just seems like Narnia to me. Like, it just, everything I read about it or seen just seems beautiful. So one day I want to go and do that. I bet you have something in your mind right now. Some place you'd like to go see, don't you? I don't know what it is. But in your mind, there's some place or something that you'd like to see. I remember when we were in the Delta, there was this, I'm not a steak eater, but there was a steak place outside of Leland called the Bourbon Mall. I'm trying to look at my Delta folk. Do you ever, okay, you know it, okay. Yeah, I'm not exaggerating, is in the middle of nowhere. I heard it burned down, by the way. This is so far outside the country it is. You're driving for 15 minutes, and you see a road sign that says, don't give up, you're almost there. Like, that's how far out in the country it is. We will drive. We will go. We will inconvenience ourselves to go places that we've heard are beautiful, or to eat a restaurant we heard that is fantastic. That's a common human experience. See, because I think our hearts crave beauty. I think our hearts crave something better than something living. Last week we talked in the sermon. I love that John passage we read last week, because it starts off with one of my favorite phrases in the Bible, where it says they were inside the upper room and the doors were locked for fear of the Jews. Now, a little bit of Bible knowledge here for you. Anytime in the book of John, you see John say the phrase the Jews, you need to understand that's shorthand for the religious leaders. The word the Jews in John's gospel is always shorthand for the religious leaders. Because you know who else was a Jew? John. The disciples. So John's gospel refers to the Jews. That's shorthand for religious leaders. Anyway, Jesus had been resurrected. And he's alive. And a day later, they were terrified. You ever felt like that? Ever felt ashamed in your faith when you've had a divine encounter, but then an hour or day or a week later, you find yourself back where you were before? That's the disciples. They saw Jesus. But then in no time, they were back behind locked doors out of fear. Yeah, they're just like us, y'all. Just like us. But they encountered something beautiful. And Jesus tells them, you believe because you have seen. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And then I love what John says. John says this. He says, this book, Jesus did more things that are recorded in this book. If they were all written, we couldn't contain them. But this was written so that you may come to know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That John's gospel, in fact, all the Bible was given to us so that we could know that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. There's something beautiful there, y'all. The story of Jesus, the story of suffering, the story of death, but then the story of resurrection. That the story of Jesus is beautiful, y'all. It's beautiful to know that we can be forgiven. To know that there's a God who looks us full in the face. There's a God who knows everything we've done. A God who knows the dark secrets that we tell no one, that lay upon our hearts, that we think about when we go to sleep at night. That this God knows that. Looks us full in the face. Looks us full in the face of our defeats, our losses, our tragedies, our pains. Looks us full in the face and still loves us. Y'all, that's beautiful. And I believe deep in my heart. That's what this world's looking for. The world's got enough judgment, doesn't it? The world's got enough self-righteousness, doesn't it? The world's got enough folks out there that think they know everything and have it all figured out, right? I don't think that's going to win lives for Jesus. But you know what I think will win lives for Jesus? That beautiful story of redemption. See, I've seen that beauty many times in my life. The first time I always think about this is one of my old coaches growing up, Coach Myers. He was, I tell people this, he was the first Christian I ever met, or the first person who was Christian who didn't have to be. You know, the folks in church, the kids think we got to be Christian, right? So I didn't count church folk as Christian because they got to be Christian. They go to church, right? I didn't count my parents because they got to be Christian. They're my parents. Coach Myers is a coach. And he was kind. And he was the kind of coach that if a player needed a pair of shoes and they couldn't afford it, guess what magically showed up in their locker one day? A pair of shoes. And when a player needed a ride home after practice, Coach Myers couldn't get him a ride, he'd take him. He started the FCA at Boca Chica. He never preached loudly or boldly. He just loved the students that he encountered every day. And 6 weeks ago, my mom died, and we had her funeral. I was a rock, y'all. I was like stone-faced, man. I was shaking hands and kissing babies and licking people, all of it. Running for office. And I was a rock. When some of y'all showed up, I teared up a little bit. But when Coach Myers walked through those doors, looked at Holly and said, I'm fixing to cry. That's what got me. Because I knew he was there because he loved me. And that meant the world to me. I saw the beauty of Jesus in him. I saw the beauty in Jesus and some folk in this church in some difficult days. When things would happen, they would call me. And their call was not to tell me what I'd done wrong or to tell me the mistakes I'd made or to correct me. But their call was simply this: how are you doing? But the guy who led me to the Lord, the person who I credit for my salvation, was a guy I grew up with. He was a little bit older than me, but not a lot. He was the first person I ever saw in my life get sure enough saved. Like, I'm talking like he got, when the Lord got jerked him up, he got saved. And when he got saved, when he came to the Lord, there was a spirit of love and joy and peace and kindness that radiated from him in a way that was supernatural. In a way that I can't even explain. And I said in my life in that moment, I said, I want what he has. Whatever it is that he has, whatever it is that makes him love me like he loves me, I want that. Whatever it is that gives him this sense of joy, I want that. Whatever it is that gives him this sense of peace, I want that. So this guy, he led me to the Lord. He helped me become a Christian, but yet he never verbally told me about Jesus. He never sat me down and said, Andy, let me tell you the four spiritual laws. He never walked me through the Roman road of salvation. He never told me his testimony. You know what he did? He just loved me. There was something different about the Spirit of God in him that made me say, whatever it is that guy has, it's what I want. There was something beautiful about Jesus in him. And y'all, that's what this world needs. What did Jesus tell us today? He said, Thus it is written, the Messiah is to suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name in all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are my witnesses of these things. Y'all, we have seen beauty. In your life, at some point in your life, you've encountered someone where you have felt that beauty of Christ, haven't you? At least one. At least one person in your life that you know when you spoke to them. You know when they spoke to you. You know when they prayed for you, the Lord heard it, you know? We all know somebody like that. We know that when this person prayed for you, you'd want them to pray for you. We all know this person. We have all encountered this person. And if I was to ask you to, you could probably name those people now. I've encountered them. You've encountered them. We all know them. And we are better for that, aren't we? We're better Christians. We're better fathers. We're better mothers. We're better friends. We're better coworkers. We're better bosses. We're better employees. We're better citizens. We're better believers because of the beauty that we have encountered in these individuals. And y'all, what I'm telling you, is that what the world needs? I truly believe it is that beautiful story of Jesus, that beautiful story of forgiveness, that beautiful story of resurrection, that beautiful story of hope, that beautiful story of grace. That is how we change the world. That is how we change the world. Not through our perfection, because Lord knows if I got to be perfect, we can go ahead and close this place down now, because that's not happening. And so what happens, y'all, we get in our minds the wrong standard. Well, I've got to be perfect. And then what happens? Remember I said earlier we're like the Jews? I mean, we're like the disciples where we have this encounter with Jesus and we are on fire and we are good to go and we are rocking and rolling and we are listening to K-Love and we are just going back and listening to Christian podcasts. We are on fire and woohoo, go Team Jesus. And then we have a bad day at work. And then we mess up with our kids. Or then we have a fight with our spouse. Or then we have a temptation. Or then we get an unexpected phone call from the doctor. And then our world spirals. And then we're just like the disciples, where even though we've encountered beauty, and even though we've seen beauty, we go back to our upper room and we lock our doors out of fear and out of failure and out of a standard by which that we can't even accomplish. So we feel inadequate as Christians because we have not met this standard that we've created in our own mind for God's holiness. What does the Lord expect? He has shown the old man what the Lord is good and what the Lord expects of you, but to do justice, love mercy, and walk humbly with our God. God's standard is not some myth of human perfection. God's standard is love. What's the greatest commandment? To love God and love neighbor. That's how our holiness plays itself out. That's how our holiness plays itself out. It's not in perfect action, but in perfect love. And perfect love is ground in the beauty of the story of Jesus. In his life, where he teaches us to love. I always think of something one of my professors would say in seminary, or rather at Mississippi College. He would say, it's a lot easier to preach on Paul than preach on Jesus. Paul's hard to understand. Jesus is hard to follow. Loving your enemies is not complicated. I just don't want to do it. I don't like them. They're my enemies. If they were my enemies, they'd be my friends. But they're my enemies, so I don't want to like them. You know what Jesus says? I don't care. You got to love them. You got to. I don't like that. I don't want to do that. I want to not like my enemies. I want to go on Facebook and talk about them. I want to start nasty text threads about them with my friends and say, can you believe what they did? I know, aren't they the worst? Like, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. That's fun. That's the kind of stuff that can warm the cockles of your cold heart, you know? Because, boy, ain't nothing we Southerners like more than a grudge. Woo, man. A good grudge, man, that can warm your heart for years. That's good stuff right there. You know, that's kind of what we want to do. But Jesus said, no, you can't do that. Because the fire you feel from that resentment is a fire that will destroy you. It will destroy you. So Jesus has taught us, like we sing in Christmas season, surely has taught us to love one another. His law is love and his gospel is peace. He's taught us that. But then he's shown us his death on the cross and the effect of sin. But then he's shown us the power of life to resurrect when he rose from the dead and conquered even the gates of hell. His story is redemption, y'all, and grace, and love, and mercy, and joy. And in a world that is cold, in a world that is divided, in a world that is running on the nth degree towards division and hatred and judgment and these things, the story of the resurrection of Jesus Christ can change that world. That's our job, y'all. That's what he told us to do. We've got to show the beauty. We've got to show the beauty. Once we've encountered it, once we've seen it, once we've tasted it, once we've come to know the goodness and the mercy and the salvation that flows from our loving Heavenly Father, we've got to show the beauty to all the world. That's how we win the world back, y'all. That's how we change the world. That's how, through the grace of Jesus Christ, we redeem our world. And by the way, that redemption does not start with the world. You know what it starts with? With me. Because you know what I want to be sometimes? Hateful. I do. It starts with me showing the beauty of Jesus to my spouse. Showing the beauty of Jesus to my children. Showing the beauty of Jesus to my colleagues at work. Showing the beauty of Jesus to that jerk who cut me off in traffic. Showing the beauty of Jesus to those who may have a different politics than me. Showing the beauty of Jesus to the folks on Facebook arguing with everybody. Showing the beauty of Jesus to the world. It starts small. It starts with simply seeing the other person as someone for whom Christ died. I love what C.S. Lewis says. You've never met a mere mortal. You've only met people who are eternal. Everyone we've ever met will live forever. You've never met just an ordinary person. He also said, outside of the Holy Communion, your neighbor is the most sacred thing you'll ever encounter. We've got to show the beauty to the world, y'all. We don't have to show our perfection to the world. We don't have to show our correctness to the world. We don't have to show our sinlessness to the world. We've got to show the beauty of Christ to the world. Because when his beauty is shown to the world, y'all, maybe I'm naive. Maybe I'm silly. Maybe I'm stupid. But I still believe the beauty of Christ can change the world. I still think the beauty of Christ can redeem the world. And I still think the beauty of Christ can save lives in this world. That's our job, y'all. To see the beauty that we see in the text today. To see the power of the resurrected Lord, to see that beauty, understand that beauty, and be loved by that beauty. And then show the power of God's beautiful redemption to a world in need of salvation. In a world for whom Christ Jesus died. That's our job, y'all. To show the beauty. Through God's grace and by His Spirit, may it be so in our lives. In the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let's pray.